The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 28, Text Number 16, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on September 14th, 2017, in Riga, Latvia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Duhetre Putra Pautran Cho Jami Jamatre Parshadam Svatva Avashtitam Yat Kinchit Griha Kosha Pradachadam Duhita putra pautrangscha Jamnimam ritta parshadam Svatva vashishitam yatkinchid Griha kosha parichadam Duhita putra pautrangscha Jami jam ritta parshadam
Jami jam ritta parshadam
Svatva vashitam yatkinchid
Svatva vashitam yatkinchid
Griha kosha parichadam
Griha kosha parichadam
Duhitri
Daughters
Putra Sons
Pautram
Grandsons
Must
have. So, and
on.
Jami,
daughters-in-law,
Jamatra, sons-in-law, Parshadan,
associates,
Svatva,
property,
Avashishtam.
Remaining
Yadkinchit whatever Griha home Kosha accumulation of wealth Parichadam household paraphernalia Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. King Puranjana then began to think of his daughters, sons, grandsons, daughters-in-law, sons-in-law, servants, and other associates, as well as his house, his household paraphernalia, and his little accumulation of wealth, purport. It is not infrequent for a person overly attached to the material body to request a physician to prolong his life at least for some time. If the so-called scientific physician is able to prolong one's life for a few minutes through the use of oxygen or other medicines, he thinks that he is very successful in his attempts, although ultimately the patient will die. This is called the struggle for existence. At the time of death, both patient and physician still think of prolonging life, although all the constituents of the body are practically dead and gone. So there's one thing we don't like to think about, and that is our mortality. The fact that we are going to die. Of course, I'm not speaking of the spirit soul. We're speaking of the material body. But we don't like to think that this body is going to die. It's an unpalatable thought for us. Because we still misidentify ourselves as being the body. This whole process of Krishna consciousness is to free us from this false identification with the material body. Even though we immediately say, I'm not this body, we fully accept that we're not these bodies. We fully accept that we are not these bodies. We fully accept it. But we still feel like we are these bodies. Even though we know we're not. So we have to bring our feelings into harmony with our understanding. We understand one thing, we feel something else. That means we're neophytes. The pure devotee, he doesn't feel that he is a body. He knows that he's not his body. And he experiences it every minute that he's not his body. So by this process of sadhana bhakti, gradually we will come to that level. We're fully situated in the spiritual plane. It takes time to come to that platform. Therefore, we have to be patient. We have to faithfully execute our initiation vows. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, and hopefully not lifetime after lifetime. But if the pure devotee, if Krishna wants me to come back, he has no problem with that. A few minutes ago, we just sang in the Guru Puja. Janme Jamme Prabhu Se. You are my Lord, birth after birth. So devotees, the pure devotion mood is that even my Lord, if I take birth after birth, that's okay. As long as I can always remain absorbed in your service. You see, that's the liberated platform. Whether I serve here in the material world or I serve in the spiritual world, there's no difference. Because I'm connecting with Krishna in love. Just like the dedicated servant, he's willing to go anywhere to serve his master. Not that he says, my dear master, I will serve you only in your palace, but I won't go outside of the palace to serve you. Dedicated servant will go to hell if required to serve his spiritual master. He's not attached to his place of residence. He is simply attached to pleasing his spiritual master and pleasing Krishna. So by understanding these facts and trying to develop that mood of unconditional surrender, we will enter into a very sublime state of happiness. That cannot be pinched by any material situation.
mūs neskars nekāda materiāla situācija.
Transcendental consciousness.
Un tā ir pārpasaulīga apziņa.
Krishna consciousness.
Krishnas apziņa.
Bhagavan consciousness.
Bhagavan apziņa.
Rishikesh consciousness.
Rishikesh apziņa.
God consciousness.
Dieva apziņa.
This is the goal which is achieved by those who seriously take up this pathway.
Un to sasniegs tie, kas ļoti nopietni iet par šo ceļu.
Krishna says, out of thousands among men, one may endeavor perfection.
Krishna saka, no tūkstošiem cilvēku, tikai viens var sākt tiekties pēc pilnības.
And out of a thousand who endeavor for perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth.
Un no tūkstošiem, kas ir uzsākuši ceļu uz pilnību, tikai viens labi apzinās patiesību.
So to become a pure devotee is actually considered a very rare thing.
Un kļūt par tīru bhakti, tas tiek uzskatīts par kaut ko ārkārtīgi retu.
Even amongst many who try to achieve it, you see. So we should take it very seriously, this process of trying to become a pure devotee. Actually, there's only one thing required. Sincerity. If you sincerely want to awaken pure love of God within your heart, Krishna will reciprocate. Tesham natata yuktanam bhajatam pratik purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding of how they can come to me. So if we are sincerely trying to awaken love of Krishna within our hearts, Krishna knows it immediately. And he reciprocates it accordingly. Both within the heart and by arranging what happens to us externally. In other words, you get help from both sides, within and without. Bahirna Singha, Hridayena Singha. Krishna is both within and without. So if one is sincerely trying to awaken pure love of God from both sides, Krishna gives all help. You think Krishna would make it difficult for us? No. Krishna makes it easy. Why is it so difficult then? Because we make it difficult. By addiction to material sense gratification. Both subtle and gross. That's why we have to develop a very clear understanding of what is the process of purification of consciousness. So we can curb down the restless mind. It wants to jump here, jump there, jump everywhere for sense enjoyment. We have to bring that mind out of control. It's like that Vaishnava poet, Govinda Das. He's written very nice poetry. Bhajahu re mana srinanda nandana abhaya charanada vindare. My dear mind, please just engage yourself in the devotional service of that darling son of Nanda Maharaj. Actually, that boy Krishna is very so amazing, really. He's so good looking. I mean, he's really attractive. Everything about him is just absolutely amazing. The way he holds his head, the way he holds his head, the way he smiles, his smile is very, very enchanting. The way he puts that flute to his lips. He's like a famous actor in a famous movie. Every gesture of Krishna is just so astounding. Every word is pure poetry. Every move of his body is a beautiful dance. So we just have to somehow get connected with him, really. Once you get connected with Krishna, once we are solidly connected with Krishna, will not be attracted to anything else of this material world. No amount of sex pleasure, no amount of money, no amount of fame, no amount of anything here compares to even have one smiling glance from Krishna. So somehow we must qualify ourselves to get that smiling glance of Krishna. That's why Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita. To instruct us, to train us how to become qualified, to become reconnected with Him. It's actually quite easy. If you just read the instructions and do what Krishna said, is it difficult to bake a cake? If you follow the recipe, it's easy to bake a cake. If you try to concoct your own recipe, thinking you know better than the cookbook, then you're not really a cook. You're a kook. Crazy fellow, you see. So we should follow the instructions. We shouldn't try to invent our own new, improved version of Krishna consciousness. We like Krishna consciousness the way Prabhupada taught it, you see. We like Krishna consciousness the way that Prabhupada taught Krishna consciousness. Not some new watered down version that's more, you know, more appropriate for 2017. I don't buy that philosophy. I was here when Prabhupada was here. I was here in this movement when Prabhupada was here on the planet. And I know what Prabhupada wanted. I wrote him many times, he had many personal instructions from him also. So I know what Prabhupada wants. So we have to do that. We have to do what Prabhupada wants us to do. That's how we know what Krishna wants us to do. Prabhupada perfectly represents Krishna. And not even the slightest tinge of a flaw in Prabhupada's teachings. Sometimes people find fault with Prabhupada. I gave a lecture in one city, and one man, he was finding fault with Prabhupada, some of what Prabhupada said. But actually there was no fault in what Prabhupada said. Just, this man's understanding was wrong, that's all. Prabhupada's teachings are perfect. And we have to learn how to understand them properly. If we understand them properly, then to follow them properly is not difficult. Going back to the example of the cake recipe in the cookbook. If you clearly understand it, then you'll have no problem. But sometimes we concoct, that's the problem. Just like when I was a little boy, I checked out a book from the library on magic tricks with cards. So I was going to learn how to do some magic, you see. So the instruction said, cut the deck. So I took some scissors and I cut the deck. Then I was waiting for the magic trick, how to put it back together again. Do they know what cut means? There's shuffle and cut.
Yeah.
So that was the end of my magic card tricks career. I had no deck of cards anymore, they were all finished. Because I interpreted the word cut in the wrong way, you see. You have to understand what the spiritual master means. There was one pastime with Prabhupada Japan, what is that called? Capital of Japan?
Tokyo,
yeah. Devotees didn't really know how to celebrate Vyasa Puja. So Prabhupada came and there was no flowers at all. I mean, now even for Guru Puja we have flowers, you know, garlands. But they were going to celebrate Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja, there wasn't any flowers at all. Now in Hindi, Sanskrit, pushpa means flowers. So Prabhupada said, where are the pushpa? And the devotee Sudama Prabhu thought he was talking about pushpa and a rice. So he ran into the kitchen and started cooking pushpana rice. So you need to find out what the instructions mean, you see. Actually, it was a horrible scene. Prabhupada was so disturbed, he tried chastising the devotees like anything. What made it worse was that a TV station had come to film the whole event. And Prabhupada didn't care that they were filming the whole thing. He finally said, this is not Vyasa Puja, this is a disgrace. And he walked out of the whole thing. He left the Vyasa Puja celebration. But then so the devotees had to go and beg for mercy and forgiveness and get some instructions to understand how to do Vyasa Puja. So then Prabhupada mercifully let them do it the next day. They did it properly just the day after Vyasa Puja. So the point is you have to take the time and trouble to understand what the instructions are. That's why we have these classes. That's why it's very important we attend these classes regularly. And why it's very important we read these books also regularly. Because they begin to understand exactly what Prabhupada wants us to do. I mean, you understand properly what he wants us to do, it's not difficult to do it. The only difficulty is when we don't understand what Prabhupada wants us to do. Of course, one could have a cheating mentality. He understands that Prabhupada wants, but still he doesn't do it because of his material attachment. But I'm speaking of those who are sincerely trying to become pure devotees. So now I can open it up for questions. Madan Mohan. Go ahead. Speak.
Srila Gurudev, could you please explain in a wider sense what does it mean to worship or worshiping in a wider sense of the word?
Vai jūs, Srila Gurudev, varētu izskaidrot plašāk, dziļāk vārda pielūkšana, ka nozīme?
Worship means you're giving all honor and respect.
Pielūkt nozīmē, ka jūs izrādat cieņu.
It's like the Bajari, the devotee there, he was offering the arati, that is worship.
Un kā piemēram tagad Bajari arati laikā veic šo te godināšanu.
There are certain standards of worship. There are standards of how to worship. For example, the arati ceremony and the kirtan. These are ways that we can worship Krishna. We can worship the spiritual master. So you're offering all honor and respect. With reverence. That is worship.
Tā ir godināšana.
Questions more? I saw his hand first in the back.
Мои поклоны. А что такое любовь? Вот как ее понимать на самом деле? Любовь к Богу. Вот что это такое? Что это такое?
Kā saprast patiesībā mīlestību uz Dievu? What is the proper way to understand love to God?
Love means giving with no thought of return.
Mīlestība nozīmē dot bez jebkādas domas par to, ka kaut kas atpakaļ būtu jāsaņem.
If I give to you for the purpose of getting something back from you, that's business.
Ja es dodu jums kaut ko ar domu saņemt kaut ko no jums atpakaļ, tas ir business.
Just like Prabhupada says, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. That's not love, you see. That's a business deal. As long as you're gratifying me, then I'll try to gratify you. Love means giving without any expectation of return. The only thing I need is the pleasure of serving you. I don't need anything back from you.
Vienīgais, ko es vēlos, ir tas prieks, ko man sagādā kalpošana tev.
That is called pure love or pure bhakti.
Un to sauc par tīru mīlestību vai tīru bhakti.
And that is the only thing that can actually satisfy the self.
Un tā ir vienīgā būtība, kas vienīgā lieta, kas patiesi apmierināt mūsu patieso visi.
Because our actual nature is to love purely.
Tāpēc, ka mūsu patiesā dāva ir tīri mīlēt.
This greedy materialistic desire to get something back is simply a material contamination.
Un šī te alkatības pilnā vēlme kaut ko saņemt atpakaļ ir vienkārši materiāls piesārņojums.
Next. What is loving exchanges? When two people are purely loving each other, yeah, without any thought of return.
So if that devotee gives something to you, you don't want to reciprocate.
If one doesn't want to reciprocate, that means they're not in a loving mood. If you give something to me and I say, oh, very nice, you give me something. You see, I'm in the mood of taking instead of the mood of giving.
Lai būtu mīlestības pilna
Pure love means I'm in the mood of giving and you're in the mood of giving. We're both in the mood of giving.
That is called love. But we don't, one may not expect it, but it is the duty of the person to have the loving exchange.
Tā smalkā lieta ir, ka no vienas puses mums nav jāsagaida nekas atpakaļ, bet no otras puses tā otra cilvēka pienākums ir piedalīties šajā mīlestības pilnajā apmaiņā un atbildēt ar mīlestību.
The present moment we are not on the level of pure love.
Šobrīd mēs neesam tīras mīlestības līmenī.
So if someone gives something to us, then we out of duty should reciprocate.
Un ja kāds mums kaut ko dod, tad mums ir jāskatās uz to, kā uz tādā pienākuma līmenī, mums ir jāatbild ar to pašu.
Even in the neophyte stage, if one follows one's duty of always being very reciprocal, that will help one to awaken pure love within the heart.
Un pat neofīts stāvoklī, ja cilvēks uzskatot to, kā pienākumu būs ļoti tāds atbildēšanas tādā noskaņojumā, tas viņam palīdzēs progresēt.
So now we dutifully act in a loving way.
Tātad mēs mīlestības pilnā veidā, tādā veidā, kas norāda uz mīlestību, darbojamies kā pienākuma līmenī.
That's called sadhana bhakti.
Un to sauc par sadhana bhakti.
But by dutifully acting in a loving way, gradually that dutifulness turns into pure love, prema.
Un darbojoties šādā mīlestības veidā, uz pienākumu bāzes mēs pārmazām attīstīsimies līdz tam, ka tas notiks uz patiesas mīlestības.
So now we're on the level of sadhana bhakti.
Tagad mēs esam sadhana bhakti līmenī.
By dutifully executing sadhana bhakti, it gradually turns into prema bhakti.
Bet ar pienākumu apziņu izpildot sadhana bhakti, tā pamazām pārveidīsies par prema bhakti.
You had a question?
Shrila Gurudev, you've been practicing Krishna consciousness for about 5 decades. Is it possible for you, or could you recall what was for each of these decades the biggest impediment for you to develop your Krishna, to practice and develop your Krishna consciousness?
I haven't broken it down into decades.
Jūs praktizējat Krišnas apziņu, turpat 5-10 gadus. Vai ir iespējams atsaukt atmiņā, kā pakāpenis šajās 10 gadēs, kas ir bijuši katrā desmitgadē ir bijis tas lielākais šķērslis Krišnas apziņas praktizēšanā un attīstīšanā?
So I'm going to bring all the dirt and tell about all the dirt in my heart each decade.
You know, my question is more about what to expect, because we haven't been in Krishna consciousness for such a period, but still each of us, I believe, experienced some impediments, and how to understand them, and what to expect, and could you share your
Well, the big impediment that a big impediment for young devotees is sex desire.
Liels šķērslis jaunam bhaktam ir seksuālās vēlmes.
Especially for us hippies who had completely, you know, wild, free sex life. All the original brahmacharis, they were all hippies. Free sex hippies. That's why they had long sikas. They came here with their long hair and then they shave up, now they have a long sikas. So that was a real challenge for the young brahmacharis, myself included. Well, we were lusty. But by that, but this process, you see, is it's like that verse by Jamunacharya Albandru. He also had that difficulty because he was a king in the Vedic culture and they had a whole harem for sex pleasure, you see. So he gave a very nice poetry. Yadavari mamacheta krishna padaravinde nava nava rasadam yataram tumasit Tadavati Bhattanari Sangame Smaryamane Bhavati Mukushushtis Nativanam Cha. Ever since I've engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, deriving newer and newer pleasures in that service, whenever due to my past conditioning I think about sex pleasure, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. So this is what we recommend for those who have some lusty desires and still sitting in the heart. Learn how to spit regularly, mentally. The spit of the thought of sex pleasure. Like, get out of here, you rascal.
You know,
kick it. You gotta kick it out. Don't, let me contemplate sex. No, just kick it. That'll make you strong. I was able to Brahmachari for 14 years. And then Krishna arranged a nice marriage that I couldn't say no. Arranged by Krishna. A good marriage. But even then, my wife and I, we were Brahmachari, strict Brahmachari. We never sleep in the same bed, ever. My disciples know when they arrange rooms for us, they have to always have two beds. Even in this apartment of yours, there's a double bed and a couch. So I'm sleeping on the double bed, she's sleeping on the couch. Actually, I'm willing to sleep on the couch and let her take the double bed, but she wanted it that way. So. So we have a very wonderful marriage, but it's not based on sex pleasure. It's based on serving Krishna, serving Prabhupada's mission. So that's really the biggest obstacle that devotees face. Sex pleasure is a big obstacle. And if they can just learn to spit at the thought of sex and just say, I want nothing to do with that sexual world anymore. It's an animal life. Simply disgusting animal life. That will empower them to dive deep into Krishna Nam. Any other questions?
Yeah. Как мне показалось, что помимо вот этого сексуального желания есть намного более серьезные препятствия, какие-то испытания, что ли, на пути вот, преданного служения. Вот. И какое качество, или вот Махарадж говорил, что может быть простота, или вот что поможет, или какое качество может помочь пройти вот эти все испытания, остаться как бы и достичь в итоге вот цели. В этом смысле, что вот помимо этого могут быть, ну, совершенно там испытания, там какие-то ужасные болезни или что-то, ну, там все что угодно, которые, ну, более серьезные, мне кажется, намного, чем просто сексуальные желания, которые, ну, мне кажется,
no manas pēto punkta ir virni citu pārbaudījumu, kas cilvēku dzīvē var būt. Kas ir tā un vēl nopietnāki, kas ir tā īpašība, kas var palīdzēt pārbrēt šos pārbaudījumus? From my perspective, there are even more difficult challenges in the life, in the life, and the main question is, what is that quality that would help us to go through all these challenges? What is the main quality?
One sincerely, Krishna says, to those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them understanding how to come to me.
Krishna saka, tas, ka, kurš ir sevi patiesi man uzticējis un kalpo man ar pilnu atdevi, tam es dodu izpratni par to, kā man sasniegt.
So according to Krishna, that it's devotion to him that actually conquers all impediments.
Tātad saskaņā ar Krishnas vārdiem, tā ir paša sevis atdošana, sevis pilnīga atdošana, sevis pilnīga uzticēšana Krishnam.
My dear Krishna, now I belong to you.
Mans dārgais Krishna, tagad es piederu tev.
Just like Prabhupada's arrival prayer when he came to the U.S.
Tā kā Prabhupādas lūkšana, tad, ko viņš uzrakstīja, ka ieradā.
My dear Lord, I'm just a puppet in your hands.
Mans dārgais kungs, es esmu vienkārši tikai lēle tavās rokās.
Now you make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like.
Tagad liec man dejot, liec man dejot, liec man dejot tā, kā tu to vēlies.
If one has that complete surrender, my dear Lord, I simply belong to you. You can do whatever you want to with me, and whatever you want to do with me is fine, but just let me be only dedicated to you. Let my every thought, word, and deed, and every situation be simply for your pleasure.
Un ja būs šī attieksme, dārgais kungs, vienīgais, ko es vēlos, ir, kur pilnībā tev spēt sevi uzticēt tev, un lai katra mana doma, mans vārds, mana darbība ir pilnīgi saskaņā ar to, ko tu vēlies.
That will make you very fixed in Krishna consciousness if you embrace that mood very tightly.
Un šāds noskaņojums palīdzēs jums būt ļoti stipram un stabilam Krishnas apziņā.
This works, this process works.
Un šis process strādā un dod rezultātus.
If you embrace this process very tightly within your heart of hearts, the material nature will never touch you ever again.
Un ja jūs šo procesu šādu attieksmi cieši ieskausiet savā sirdī, tad materiālā daba nespējas jūs skart.
Next.
Скажите, пожалуйста, а что может, ну, какие правильные мотивы, помимо сексуального желания, чтобы создавать семьи, жениться? Потому что мы слышали очень часто, что говорят, чувствуешь сексуальное желание, должен жениться. А здесь получается, что мы не за него должны жениться, не за сексуальное желание.
Пятаем скажите, парейте мотивы. Lai mēs izveidot ģimeni, jo dažkārt tiek teikts, jūt seksuāli nosvietas, tad veidot ģimeni. Bet tagad tāpēc tiek teikts, ka ir saprotams, ka tas nav pareizais motīvs. Sometimes we hear that sometimes an advice is given that if you feel that sexual desire, then it's better to create a family. But now what I hear is that that's not the right motive to establish a family. What is the right motive to establish family?
No, if one has a desire for sex life, they can, and they're regulating themselves nicely, they certainly can enter, take up grass to life, to use life in that propensity. There's no harm with them.
No viens puses, ja ir šī seksuāla dziņa, cilvēks sajūta tādu, bet viņš savu dzīvi māk regulēt, tad viņš var veidot ģimeni.
My marriage was different. I really became a vanaprastha from the beginning. I didn't really enter grahastha. I went from brahmacharya to vanaprastha, actually. I kind of skipped grahastha,
more or less.
Except, you know, I had a job, but, you know, I mean, the mood was vanaprastha. But it's not, so householders can do that. They can just be like vanaprasthas if they want. Or if they prefer to be grahastha and have a family, that's also a benefit. Either way, it's okay. Vanaprastha style marriage or grahastha style marriage. Either way.
But the question was the motive. Is there other motives to establish families?
The whole point is you want to develop love of God.
Kopumā ir tas pamat būtība, jūs vēlaties attīstīt mīlestību uz Dievu.
If one has a strong tendency to want to have a family, then it's better to go ahead and do that and do it for Krishna.
Un ja cilvēkam ir vēlme nodibināt ģimeni, tad to vajag darīt, bet darīt to Krishna.
So your mind becomes peaceful.
Un tad jūs prāts būs mierīgs.
If one can conquer sex desire completely and say just forget it and be peaceful, that's even better.
Un, turklāt, ja cilvēks var vēl pilnībā uzvarēt seksuālo dzīvi, tas ir vēl labāk.
But not all devotees in their younger days can do them.
Bet ne visi bhaktas savā jaunībā to var paveikt.
The tendency is so strong that it's better they utilize it and have a family.
Jo tā nostiecība ir tik spēcīga, tad labāk, lai viņi to izmanto ģimenes ietvaros.
But if one can conquer it, that's even better.
Bet ja kāds var to savaldīt, tad tas ir vēl labāk.
Is house out of life a gamble? Yes, of course. Papa gave some statistic. What was the odds of a grahasta going back to God and the odds of a brahmachari going back to God? And the brahmachari is much better odds. Brahmachari life is much safer position. You can pull it off as a brahmachari, stay brahmachari. That's the best position. Any other question? Our time is up. And we thank you all very much. Now there's just two more lectures tonight and tomorrow morning, and then we're heading out to the Holy Land of India. Via a weekend of preaching in Tallinn and two lectures in Helsinki. Thank you very much. Paldies.
Grīz Šīmans Sankaršana, Dasat Kārmahrāč, Gī!
Jā!